We eat because we need nourishment, and we eat for a lot of other reasons too. Here's Elise Fitzpatrick.
A lot of times it doesn't have to do with real hunger. It has more to do with, I want this taste in my mouth, or I want to feel, you know, the creaminess of ice cream or something like that. And so it doesn't have to do with real hunger. There's another desire, craving going on here that is something more than just, I'm hungry, let's go have something to eat.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Friday, February 3rd. Food is a huge struggle for so many people. There are plenty of people offering you diets and supplements, but what you truly need is the power of God. A few years ago, Revive Our Hearts aired a series on bringing our appetites under God's control. And it had a huge effect on listeners. Here's Nancy with an example.
I had a really touching experience not too long ago. I was speaking in Pennsylvania and sitting on the front row being introduced, getting ready to go up and speak. And a lady sitting a couple rows behind me caught my eye and motioned to me and passed up a note that she wanted me to see that she had handed it to me. And I opened the note and here it is. I've got it in my hand. In her own handwriting, she said, Nancy, thank you so much for your ministry. The Love to Eat, Hate to Eat series with Elise Fitzpatrick helped to change my life. Today, I weigh over 100 pounds less than I used to be. Then she wrote in parentheses, less of me, more of him. Blessings to you and Revive Our Hearts. And she signed her name. And I never got to talk with the woman. I read the note. I looked back and I smiled at her. And I was so encouraged by how God had used this one particular program to do a work of grace in this woman's life. And as you know, if this is an issue you've struggled with, it's really not about the weight. It's not about food. It's about the Lordship of Christ in our lives and letting Him have His way with us, body, soul, and spirit. And I was so thrilled for the way God used that series and then to get this note years later was such an encouragement. And that's why I'm glad that we're able now to re-air this series with my dear friend Elise Fitzpatrick, Love to Eat, Hate to Eat. These truths have also had an impact in my own life and are continuing to impact me. And I know it's going to be an encouragement to our listeners. And just a reminder that as you support the ministry of Revive Our Hearts, you're making it possible for women like that woman who heard this program years ago to have a really hugely life-changing experience. And so thank you for your support, your prayers, your encouragement. And I believe that, again, in a significant way, God is going to use this conversation with Elise Fitzpatrick to be a means of grace and of setting captives free. And maybe years down the road, we'll be hearing other stories from those who've been impacted as a result.
I hope you'll make a point to stay with us today and all next week and learn to bring your eating habits under God's control. Here's Nancy to get us started.
Elise Fitzpatrick is a conference speaker. She's an author. She's a biblical counselor. She's been a personal friend for the last couple of years, and she's written a book that I think is enormously helpful on this subject called Love to Eat, Hate to Eat. And the subtitle is Breaking the Bondage of Destructive Eating Habits. This book is filled with wise and biblical and practical counsel. In fact, just yesterday, I heard a story about someone that I know who said that she has recently read this book, Love to Eat, Hate to Eat, and that her thinking about food has been transformed as a result of reading this book. So, Elise, thank you so much for joining us in Revive Our Hearts and for writing this book and for being here to talk about it with us this week.
Thank you, Nancy, for the opportunity to be with you, and I look forward to our time.
And we're going to talk about different types of disorderly eating is one of the phrases I've heard you use. So first of all, compulsive overeating. What is it? What does it mean? What are we talking about when we talk about compulsive overeating?
There is a cartoon that I've seen. I think it's a Far Side cartoon that for me really exemplifies what compulsive overeating is. There's a picture of a woman walking by a bakery and she's hanging on to a light post or something out in front of the bakery, and her body's just being drawn into the bakery, and she's just hanging on for dear life. That's, I think, a really beautiful picture.
Not so beautiful.
No.
Real.
A good picture.
Very
no,
real.
Of what it's like to be entrapped in compulsive overeating. I have had episodes in my life, praise God, not so much recently, but I can remember times when I would just, for instance, sit down with a box of cereal and not really even taste it, mm-hmm. just be eating, not maybe had a little bit of an edge of hunger to go in and then just start eating and just keep eating over and over again. And so it would be that. It would also be this sort of thinking about food. Mm-hmm. When's my next meal? What am I going to have? Thinking in church. Okay, well, should we go to a restaurant after church? And what would we have? And what could I order there? And that kind of preoccupation with what am I going to eat? When can I get it? How much can I have? And a lot of times, the thing that to me is most, I think, scary is a lot of times it doesn't have to do with real hunger. Mm-hmm. It has more to do with, I want this taste in my mouth, mm-hmm. or I want to feel, you know, the creaminess of ice cream or something like that. And so it doesn't have to do with real hunger. There's another desire, craving mm-hmm. going on here that is something more than just, I'm hungry, let's go have something to eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a feeling very much of being enslaved, mm-hmm. feeling of being trapped. I'd like to not eat this, but how can I stop?
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Okay, compulsive overeating. Now, you touch in your book, and we're going to touch a little bit this week also on what are commonly called other eating disorders.
Right.
Just if you can help us define these two terms. First, anorexia nervosa. That's become a lot better understood in the last couple decades. But essentially, what is anorexia?
Anorexia would be, I think, commonly defined as voluntary self-starvation to so control the amount of food that you would intake that you would be 20% or more under appropriate weights. A lot of girls, I have counseled with a number of girls who struggle with this. They also would exercise mm-hmm. to a very high level, too much exercise. So perhaps they would be eating 300 or 400 calories a day and then running 3 or 4 miles a day.
Mm-hmm.
The point being, I think generally in anorexia, would be to become so thin, really, that you endanger your life. But I think for them, it's more of an issue of control.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to control this area of my life. I'm going to stop eating.
And most common with teenage girls?
I think most common with teenage girls. A lot of times, teenage girls will get to, you have a little bit of a growth spurt when you mm-hmm. first become a mm-hmm. teenager, and then you get to be about 15 or 16, and a lot of times those girls find themselves sort of plumping up a little bit because they have eaten like they did when they were children. But then when you go through the growth spurt and you stop growing, then a lot of times those girls will find that they're gaining weight. It's then that they will frequently start these behaviors because we live in a culture that is so focused on being thin, mm-hmm. not just being healthy, but being very, very thin, that they see the cover of some teenage magazine mm-hmm. and feel like they're way too heavy. And so then they'll start dieting. I was just talking to a girl a couple of weeks ago who had just thought, well, I'm going to just lose 10 pounds. And then it sort of got away from her. And she thought, well, if I could lose 10 and look like this, why don't I lose another 10?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what we would call it, just this voluntary self-starvation that becomes compulsive.
Yeah.
In the same way that overeating would be compulsive. It's just this drivenness to do this.
And we're going to talk in a later program about what mothers can do, how mothers can contribute to this, but also how they can be helpful to daughters that they think may have an issue here. One other term, bulimia. That's kind of the thing in some ways today, but just define it for us, for those who may not be familiar with it.
Generally speaking, we would say that a bulimic is a person who would compulsively overeat, and then to overcome the results of that overeating, which of course would be weight gain and discomfort, they would force themselves to vomit. Some of them take laxatives because they know that vomiting is bad for your esophagus and your teeth. So instead of vomiting after eating a lot, they'll just take a lot of laxatives to purge out their body. A lot of times there's also immense amounts of exercise involved in that too. So certainly there's nothing wrong with exercising. It's exercising to the point of damaging your body is that's the problem.
For those who relate to what Elise has just been saying about this sense of being enslaved by food, whether you're overweight or thin, whether it's compulsive overeating or one of these disorders that we have talked about, is there hope for lasting change? And one of the things I've so appreciated about Elise's writing and her ministry is you will come away believing, yes, there is hope for lasting change. There is power through the Holy Spirit and the grace of God to think differently and live differently. We'll keep coming back again and again to the bottom line. It's a verse you're familiar with, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Food may not be your struggle, and if it's not food, it's something else. But how do we deal with temptation? How do we deal with these besetting sins and issues? How do we live everyday life in a way that we can say, I'm living for the supreme purpose of bringing pleasure and glory and honor to God?
Nancy Lee DeMoss will be right back. And we want to help you learn how to bring glory to God in this area. One great way is to get a copy of Elise Fitzpatrick's book, Love to Eat, Hate to Eat. After reading the book, you'll walk up to the refrigerator with a new mindset. We'll send you a copy when you support the ministry of Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size. Just visit reviveourhearts.com. And there you can donate to Revive Our Hearts and get a copy of Love to Eat, Hate to Eat. You can also read today's transcript and interact over today's topic with other women on our listener blog. And you can find out how to hear Elise speak at True Woman 12 this September. Now let's get back to the series, Love to Eat, Hate to Eat. Here's Nancy Lee DeMoss.
I'm going to make 10 statements, just real quickly, one after the other, and ask you to just make a little note of how many of these statements would be true of you. And I can tell you right off the bat, I do need this series because probably, I think I counted last night, 7 of these statements are or have been true of my own thinking. So that's why I'm so burdened that we get into this and find out what the Word of God has to say. But let's evaluate together. Who needs to hear this series? Number one, is this true of you? I have a family member or close friend who struggles or has struggled with compulsive overeating, anorexia, or bulimia. Maybe a daughter, a close friend, a sister, whatever. Is that true of you? Just put a little check mark. Number two, I have an excessive focus on or love for food. Is that true of you? Or has it been in a major way in your life? Number three, I often eat for comfort or out of emotions of anger, fear, frustration, or depression rather than because I'm hungry. Number four, I habitually, compulsively overeat, even when I'm not hungry. Put a little check there if you would say that's true or has been true of you. Number five, I often feel out of control in my eating. I experience food cravings that seem irresistible. You would say this has been a pattern in my life, feeling out of control in my eating. Number six, my emotions and my sense of well-being are significantly affected by how much I weigh or how my clothes fit. Number seven, is this true of you? or has it been deep down, I feel that I will be happier, I will have more worth, and I will be more loved or liked by others if I am thin. And by the way, our culture sends that message big time. Number 8, I often experience feelings of shame or guilt, hopelessness, or helplessness in relation to my eating. Number 9, I have secret eating patterns that I wouldn't want others to know about, and I'm often dishonest with others about my eating habits. And then number 10, I have practiced anorexic or bulimic behavior. Okay, how many of you would say 10 statements that one or more of those are true of you? Okay, just about every hand in the room. I see a couple maybe that aren't raised, and you can be dismissed right away. How many of you would say that 3 or more of those you found were true of yourself? 5 or more? 7 or more? I'm going to stop there. 7 or more, let me see. Okay, probably a third maybe of us in this room, and some of us aren't even sure yet whether we can be honest, so we might have to increase that number. But I think that says, and I think if we were to take this little survey in the general Christian audience, we would find that this is a huge issue. It's something that we do need to deal with, and if you don't, you have friends who do. As you look around this room, you can see that. Elise Fitzpatrick, I'm so thankful that you're here to talk with us about this subject this week. Your book has been immensely helpful to me and to a lot of other women. And one of the things I really appreciated in your book was your own openness and transparency about your personal pilgrimage. And you didn't write this book just as a counselor or a clinician. You wrote it out of your own journey and your walk with God. You shared that some of your own wrong views of food and eating began in your childhood.
Very much so. I was one of those little girls that you would see that would shop in the chubby department, which was always humiliating to me. I really did struggle with my weight as a young person. I was not a believer, thought that having a good figure or looking good would be the point of life, which I think is where a lot of young women are. Then I had a season when I was in my late childhood where I did lose weight, and then I got saved. And the most interesting thing happened. When I became a believer, the one thing that believers can do without anybody saying, oh, you shouldn't do that, is eat.
Yeah.
So I did. And I ate at all of the church functions, and really comforted myself with food in a lot of ways. And then I was married and I had my children. And after the birth of my third child, I weighed over 200 pounds. I was really out of control. My weight was out of control. I was teaching in a Christian school. I felt like that was a bad witness, that I was so overweight. And yet I just really couldn't seem to get a handle on this. And every morning I would get up, or every Monday morning, which is the way it usually goes, every Monday morning I would get up and I would say, this week I'm not going to eat whatever. This week I'm going to eat properly.
It's going to be different.
This week it's going to be different. Mm-hmm. And then usually by Tuesday afternoon on a good week, I was back eating the way I wanted to eat. Someplace along in there, I would say probably 15 years ago or so, I began to look at my weight biblically. I began to try to ask myself questions like, what does the Bible have to say about this? As I began to get training to do biblical counseling, that came more in focus for me. And I began to realize that the Bible did speak to this topic. So it's not even that at that moment my life was just instantly changed. This is an area of my life where I have to really, really work. A few years ago, I had a hysterectomy. I'm on hormone replacement therapy, which has changed, again, my body for me. And I'm struggling still to look at what the Bible has to say about what I should think about the way that I look and not get sucked into, again, what we've been talking about, which is the emphasis of the culture on being a certain size.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you would poll women in the culture. I think that they have done this, that the optimum size that all the women want to be is a 4. The reality is most of us are 12s, and I have a little daughter-in-law. She's a 0, but I keep telling her that when she grows up and gets a woman's body, she'll be okay. Generally, there is a discontent among women, mm-hmm. particularly in our culture, about the way we look, and the culture hammers us continually with this idea that you need to be about a size 2 or a size 4, and if you're not, there's really something wrong with you. So I am still in that journey like you are. I think that the Lord has given me a measure of victory. I don't think that I am as enslaved to food as mm-hmm. I have been. Mm-hmm. I don't find myself having episodes with cereal boxes anymore, mm-hmm. thank God. Part of that is because I don't have them around, so I know what I can mm-hmm. have and not mm-hmm. have. I don't think that I've got that compulsive drive. I think that God has really delivered me from that, for which I am so grateful.
And one of the things that I appreciate in your book and the way you teach on this, Elise, is that you show that it is a process.
Right.
That there's not a quick fix. But the other thing I love about what you say is that there really is hope for right. change. And there was a verse that God used in your life when you were back in those school teaching days from 2 Peter chapter 1.
Right.
I was touched by how that verse really began a process of change in your life.
Verse 3 says that His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire.
Elise, I want you to share with us in our next session how God used that passage of Scripture, which is so powerful, to give you hope and to really begin a process of what has been lasting change in your life.
Nancy Lee DeMoss has been talking with our guest, Elise Fitzpatrick, about bringing our appetites under God's control. At Revive Our Hearts, we believe that you don't have to live in bondage to food. You can truly find lasting change through God's help. Elise Fitzpatrick leads you through this process of true change in the book Love to Eat, Hate to Eat. Can we send you a copy? It's our way of saying thanks when you support Revive Our Hearts. We're able to bring you helpful programs like this one because listeners believe in this ministry. They want it to continue and support the ministry financially. When you help us in the mission of leading women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ, we'll send Love to Eat, Hate to Eat to show our gratitude. Ask for the book when you donate by phone. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, imagine hearing our guest, Elise Fitzpatrick, in person. Imagine that she's joined by Nancy, Janet Parshall, Johnny Erickson Tata, Mary Cassian, Priscilla Shire, and many other speakers with a heart for the Lord. Imagine that you're surrounded by thousands of other women seeking the Lord for personal and national revival. You can experience all this in September of 2012. True Woman 12 is coming to Indianapolis. To find out how to be a part of this important gathering, visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, food is a good gift from God, but you need strategies to use that gift wisely and not be controlled by it. Elise Fitzpatrick will be back Monday to talk about it. Please join us for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.